This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, live in Oxnard, California. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and by Guardian Caps. And Will McClay is going to join us in 1 hour. Cowboys news of the evening coming up in 20 minutes. Here's Woolchuck with your NFL news.
Well, a team the Cowboys are opening up the season with, the Cleveland Browns, have suffered a season-ending injury to their offensive line. We know here we saw Sam Williams unfortunately get carted off. That's the big news from Cowboys camp. We'll talk with Will McClay coming up here in an hour. But the Browns are placing their former Super Bowl champion offensive lineman, their starting center, whom they signed this offseason, Brian Allen, on IR. He suffered a calf injury during practice yesterday. He's not going to count against the 90-man offseason roster because he's going on IR, so he's going to miss the season. They are also having issues with their tackles, Jedrick Wills Jr. and Jack Conklin. They both opened camp on the PUP list. So the Browns' offensive line might be not quite at full strength week one. We'll see how quickly those tackles get back. But, hey, that's something to keep in your back pocket and make note of as the Cowboys open up the season in Cleveland.
Are you ready for the big discussion about, you know, should you dial back practice even more?
No, my gosh. I mean, we were fortunate enough to get some time chopping it up with Mike Zimmer, and I think it was great hearing the old stories of, like, how intense practice actually used to be. In fact, I was wanting to ask Will, when it comes to a scouting and putting your team together
Hard to do.
Offensive and defensive line, because you're barely getting any padded practices to watch
guys. Yeah, I ran into out on the field yesterday, I ran into a couple scouts, and I said, hey, when are you guys heading back? They're going back. August is a big time for college scouts to get out and hit those practices as well. And the Cowboy scouts are only going to see one padded practice,
wow,
and that's tomorrow. So lots have changed over the years of the way the evaluations have been. I know that when I was here in the early 2000s, the scouts would come in, we'd have meetings, we'd talk about all this, Jerry, Steven, you know, get an idea what the scouts thought of the team. But you don't have that opportunity now. You know, they're quick to get the scouts out on the road, get them started with their college stuff, and then, you know, Will and Mike and Jerry and Steven and the coaches will handle, you know, how the roster's going to look.
You know, I think there's just one thing I would do if I was in charge of an NFL team, and that is I would, you know, shift pretty extremely to drafting players that were essentially never hurt. You know, you've made it through 4 years of high school, 3 to 5 years of college, and you didn't miss games. And then I practice hard, you know, because I think there's a huge edge to be had on the other side of it now.
I'll throw you a name that will make you, and you'll remember the name, and you'll go, okay, now I can't do what I just wanted to do. Mo Claiborne never got hurt at LSU.
Mm. He was hurt the day you drafted him.
Yeah, Mo Claiborne, he got hurt working out is what happened. Mo Claiborne was not hurt a day at LSU. Never missed a snap, never missed a practice. Then all of a sudden he gets here, and it was a wrist, it was this, it was that. He was always dealing with something. It's amazing how some players come in the league and never, ever, you know, never have a scratch on them. And then others, they just, you know, you can't keep
those
them
are the kinds of injuries I could accept, you know, yeah. And I would never sign those guys to a second contract, yeah. But I wouldn't start with guys who got hurt all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you probably don't want guys that have been. I mean, that was the issue with the linebacker that we loved coming out of NC State, Peyton Wilson,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that guy just had a – but, it, gosh, you look at the film, and the dude is one of the best players that we were able to study during the draft class.
Yeah, no ACL, no this, no that. You
I mean,
know?
We'll see how his career ends.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's a guy that – he made every single tackle. I mean, it's crazy when you watch North Carolina State film, and you're thinking about how the Cowboys are going to do at linebacker.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, man, this kid would be a great fit. But he's got no ACL. He's got a bad shoulder. The Cowboys' luck or lack of luck with hurt linebackers is not good.
Not good.
Not good at
not
all.
Not good at all. No. This was hilarious. DeMarcus Ware today, our buddy, posted a text he got from Jim Maurer, Cowboys trainer. Said, you were picked for the PES test tomorrow morning. Testing will begin at 5:30 and not before. I will start calling the rookies at 6 o'clock. All tests need to be completed by 7:30. Team meeting at 7:30. Please bring your camp ID to the test. Room, gives him the room number. Let me know that you got this message. Thanks. And, of course, DeMarcus Lawrence calls Jim Maurer after receiving the text. It was meant to go to DeMarcus Lawrence. Not
DeMarcus, DeMarcus Ware called him.
DeMarcus Ware called him. It was meant to go to Lawrence, not
Ooh.
Ware. Honest mistake here from Jim Maurer, but pretty hilarious. D-Ware posted a video that's pretty funny if you want to go check it out on Instagram.
What's the PES test?
Performance-enhancing substances.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh. I like that, Walchuk.
That was a nice dig right
okay,
there.
Okay, so this is a P-test.
Takes 90 minutes to do that?
Yeah, it's a P-test.
I guess 90 minutes to get everybody done that needed just, to get
right,
done. It's not
yeah.
like they got rookies involved. Yeah. And okay.
Yeah,
so.
We're just doing the P-test for, hey.
I thought it was some kind of physical conditioning test.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking initially.
Chuck,
but 90
minutes.
It's a good pull there, Walchuk.
Maybe.
Well, because they already have, like, they probably already did, like, a team-wide conditioning
yeah.
test, like,
when they
day
got
one
here.
Or
yeah.
whatever.
But then again, you did just lose an end, so maybe they're thinking, hey, DeMarcus, you want to give it one last ride here? You look like you could still play. We could use yep. somebody to rush the passer a couple plays a game.
And I'd bet on him to pass any test.
I would, too.
Dude.
I certainly would.
Yeah, you tell me. If you told me right now, if Will McClay sat down with us and broke news that he just signed DeMarcus Ware to be the Sam Williams replacement, I'd say, take a seat, Charles Harris.
Let's go.
Sorry about it, youngster Nealand. You're going to be slowly brought to this
thing. They need Nealand, and he's shown up early here. When the pads come on, hopefully – that he's able to kind of take some of the things. But he's had a good start to this camp.
Yeah,
yeah.
He has.
He's one of these guys that, if you ask me, hey, give me some guys that you've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Notice number 94 out there on a lot of these.
Is it about the first step? Is it his quickness that's like
I'll
off
tell
the
you
ball?
What, I tell you, it was to me, I did not think that when you watched him play at Western Michigan, I didn't think he had the burst, and I don't think he has the bend. But he's got that initial step, and I didn't see that. It maybe this is something that from the time he left Western Michigan that he comes to the NFL and they're working in weight programs and conditioning programs. He's working with coaches that could like, okay, when you know, gain ground with this step, get distance with this step, you know, and you start to kind of bring that out of a player.
NFL coaching.
Mm-hmm.
NFL coaching.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a big
They're
body.
Coached
but
up.
Nothing against Western Michigan because,
sure,
like I say,
sure.
but
the
sometimes
Bills, he looks much bigger than
is.
I thought he
yeah.
looked on tape.
Like,
you
too.
Talk about kicking him inside as like a inside rusher and passing
three technique,
downs,
three yeah,
tech.
Yeah.
He's got the body for it.
He does.
Yeah.
And that was something that was fun watching him do.
I was worried that they were going to keep moving him around like they've done Golston. And Golston hasn't been good at any of them.
No.
Yeah.
You know, keep him at a spot and let him rush.
Yep, I'm with you there. Lions have signed their tackle, Taylor Decker, to a 3-year, $60 million extension for him. So he's getting $31.83 million guaranteed, as we can still see players and other teams go ahead and get some big
They've got
money
both
deals.
Their tackles done then. Penny
they
Sewell
do.
And Decker both have done now.
This was sad, the news about Patriots defensive lineman Christian Barmore, who they drafted in the second round out of Alabama a few years ago. He's turned out to be one of their best defensive players. He's
yeah.
a starting lineman for them, but he's going to be treated for blood clots.
Yeah.
No Ooh. Timetable for his return, and that's what ended Chris Bosh's career
for
in
sure.
the NBA too, wasn't it? So
yeah.
who knows? I mean, this could be one we're hopeful Christian Barmore can get back on the field, and this ends up being something that they correct.
Yeah.
Maybe that's one of those situations where the physical, like, detected something.
It's a scary deal.
It's tough because then you got to get on the blood thinners, and you can't really play a sport, like a contact sport,
when
you're
cut.
On blood thinners. Yeah. Well, and it's the internal bleeding.
Yeah.
You take a shot.
A bruise, yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're having an awful situation, so that's going to be tough.
All right, you guys remember we had Chris Jones, and he was talking about, like, yeah, man, I wouldn't mind missing some training camp. He held out last year so he didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
So he jokingly talked about, hey, with Andy Reid, you know, maybe I can get some veteran days off here. Well, he's missing training camp practice due to a groin injury.
There you go. Wait, why are you doing sausage finger quotes with that?
I'm just saying,
when you say groin injury.
Groin injury. Maybe it is legitimate. I don't know. I'm not at Chiefs camp. But that would seem like, yeah, you got a groin injury? Okay.
Or maybe a grow-in injury.
A groin injury.
Yeah.
Well said.
He's growing.
I understand it because
growing injury.
What I hear, I've at night, you know, like at home, I don't have the TV in the room. My wife's all about, like, tranquility and crap. So I don't get to fall asleep just, like, watching what I want to watch necessarily. But obviously, hotel room, you get that. I'm watching these inside training camps. They're going camp to camp.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently at the Chiefs camp, wherever they are in Missouri, it's, like, just blistering hot,
yeah.
Disgusting.
Throwing
we know Andy Reid. Andy Reid's a big-time, like, yeah. Like, grind these guys old school. That's a camp that you want to fake an injury at. I could
oh,
see
absolutely.
That 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's tough.
And as a coach,
maybe
I'm
maybe there's
going
something
to
win that Super Bowl's doing that, huh?
I think so. I think so.
Something there.
Well, you have Pat Mahomes, then you can have training camp wherever the hell you want.
Yeah,
as Chris Jones is going to prove, as Aaron Donald proved, once you're a certain level of good, I don't want to see you out here, man. Go rest up. It's going to be a long season. They're talking about sending it to 18 games. Plus, we got to run to the Super Bowl.
We do.
I don't need you out here. You know,
you're
fine.
Do you think you could have an NFL season start with 2 weeks of training camp?
Yeah.
One game?
You need some of the young guys to teach them how to do it longer.
Yeah,
you know, but your
more.
Main starters, 2 weeks.
What do you think? I mean, I feel like it would be hard.
It'd be hard to evaluate your players, but you do so much with these OTAs in minicamps
now. You expand the team rosters. You might be able to.
The owners don't want to do that.
You can't really replicate the game out here. The learning starts once the live rounds go.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best thing's probably those.
Everything else is glorified
against
film
other
sessions.
Teams.
I was just I would hate to not have. 2 weeks of training camp would be really hard to evaluate your team, but for the safety of your team as a personnel guy, I might be okay with that
because
nobody will get hurt.
Well, speaking of not getting hurt, we've got hold-ins that are still going down. We know CeeDee Lamb's doing the hold-out, the hold-in. Brandon Ayuk's doing that there with the San Francisco 49ers. Apparently, Ja'Marr Chase and Trey Hendrickson both doing that in Cincinnati. So Ja'Marr Chase is there. He's just not practicing. And then Trey Hendrickson, who said he wants to be traded, then he's going to retire. Now he wants to be a Bengal for life, but he does also want a new deal. Both of them saying, hey, we're just not practicing for multiple days. Now we'll see. I don't think Cincinnati's getting either of those things done before the end of the season. Seems like they're going to let that play out. Maybe that's the right thing for them to do.
Yeah, they're perpetually pretty cheap, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, generally speaking, they did pay Burrow. That's the type. And I think we'll probably get into this in the C-note a little bit, but Jerry has lent voice to this, and we kind of hinted around it. The Sunday ticket fiasco the NFL's dealing with, that has people a little bit more gun-shy about throwing some cash around. Not everybody. You're
not
seeing
everybody.
Deals get done, but especially a guy like Mike Brown, who squeaks when he walks, that's not a guy who's trying to dish out a bunch of money before he knows he's got money coming in.
No, you don't want any of that. Well, I know a couple of guys that now have a lot of money. That would be Aaron Rodgers, former Packers quarterback, now with the Jets, and newly signed Jordan Love, who got himself a four-year, $220 million contract extension, $75 million signing bonus. Well, NFL Network, to your point, they're bouncing around camp to camp. So they visit with Rodgers, our guy Baldy, along with Judy Batista. They're at Jets camp, and, A-Rod wanted to give Jordan a little shout-out.
First of all, since you mentioned it, I want to give a shout-out to Jordan Love, becoming the highest-paid player in the NFL.
There you go.
Jordan Love, don't spend it all in one place. But if you do, I still have a house in Green Bay that's up for sale.
There we go.
Worth a shot there.
Okay.
A little payola plug.
I like this. A little real estate work here.
You probably got like a dark room situation in there as well that most houses don't account for.
The ayahuasca
room. There's going to be a couple of perks to this particular Aaron Rodgers house. That
maybe
you might,
a sweat lodge.
Some trap doors. Yeah, maybe a sweat lodge.
A puke room.
You've got multiple drug rooms. There's going to be a lot happening here. So Jordan Love then gets interviewed by Steve Smith and Jesse Palmer. What do you think? You want to buy Rodgers' house?
Now, Aaron was with us on NFL Network yesterday. He did say if you're going to spend it all in one place, he's got a house. It's still on the market here. Do you have a message for Aaron about your real estate plans with that new contract?
Tell him you buy it on the low.
Give me a deal for it. A-Rod, I won't be buying your house, man, but I'll go check on it, make sure it's well taken care of. But, if you want to hook me up with a deal, like you said.
Hometown discount?
Hometown discount.
Contracts have gone up significantly since Rodgers bought that home. I would say that's more of a starter home these days.
I mean, what were the players living in Lambeau when you were there? Like, were these houses what we're
thinking of? No, they had plenty of land and they had some nice homes and stuff over by the Green Bay Country Club and stuff. Okay. Some nice area. I'll tell you what, though, if Rodgers, to be honest with him, you ought to give him a deal on the house. You know, he's going to probably be sitting on that. That house he has is pretty expensive, and who else is going to have the money to come in there and buy it?
That's a great
point. So, man, if you want to sell a little bit, I'm not saying you have to take a bath on it, but...
Yeah, but he's probably got a bunch of shamanic art pieces and stuff in there.
Yeah, the shamanics, man.
That's high-level, high-dollar stuff.
Yeah.
Might have some personalized touches that would be difficult for the next buyer.
Probably
why it's been on the market for a better part of 2 years now.
True.
It's hard to get all those smells out of there, to be honest with you.
Stains on the wall, you know, stuff really. That's a bad deal. We do have a new member to the 99 Club. Tyreek Hill has become the first member of the 99 Club of Madden NFL 25. He's the only Dolphins player to ever get a 99 overall rating on the prestiged video game. So...
Was he a complainer last year about this?
Was he
a big complainer?
I don't remember. I think he's had a lot. He's had too much going on off the field to even know what his
Madden rating is. I just kind of thought that maybe he was a complainer in the squeaky wheel.
If this guy
got
even,
the grease.
With the amount of kids he has, if he even finds a single second out of his day to be able to play video games, I'm going to have a come to Jesus meeting with my wife.
Oh, he does. I mean? He streams. He streams. It's like an added revenue deal for him. He's probably having to stream, and he's saying, this is how I'm paying the child support.
That's okay. So he's grinding.
Yeah, he is. He's got multiple different jobs here.
It's
amazing how you just went from, you bum, to, hey, I'm highly respecting
now. Well, because now I'm realizing it's a hustle for him. Like, he's got to put food on the table for 12 kids and like nine baby mamas.
I do have the ratings, though. Where do you think CeeDee Lamb's rated on Madden?
First.
And I wish.
92.
He's first.
So Hill's the only 99 receiver. Justin Jefferson's a 98.
92.
96. 95.
CeeDee Lamb's a 96. He's the third highest rated player, followed by A.J. Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown, both 95s overall. Jamar Chase only a 93 on the game. He's the seventh highest rated receiver.
Yeah.
Wow. Here's your NFL news of the day.
Thank you, Wolchuk. We're live here on the tennis courts in Oxnard. It's time for the C-Note and five standouts from opening weekend. That's coming up next year.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nation. All right, welcome back, G-Back Nation. We are live on the tennis courts in Oxnard, Training Camp 2024. Got some C-Note content for you, but a little bit of Rangers news before we get their segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankler are the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to franklefirm.com. Who's on that jet to St. Louis this afternoon, Wolchuk? Chuck?
Yeah, I saw a report that Josh Young, along with Cody Bradford and DeGrom, were on the same flight headed to St. Louis. Josh Young, indeed confirmed from Evan Grant, said that he was on the flight, but we have not had any word on whether he will be activated today or tomorrow. But that's exciting news. Maybe we get to see Josh Young in attendance for this Cardinals series.
Yeah, he's going to be a game changer for this offense. Cannot wait for that. We have more Rangers news coming up a little bit later on the show. Chiafalo is going to kick this C-note off, the Cowboys news of the evening, with a Jerry article, right?
Yeah, so there's some quotes that are coming out here from Oxnard where Jerry's talking. They come courtesy of Clarence Hill in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And I know that why are you chuckling?
I'm chuckling because I was with at the Rudder Room with him, and I wouldn't believe anything he says.
we had an incredible Saturday afternoon at the Rudder Room, and I look forward to getting into those conversations coming up in Best of the Weekend. But Clarence did make an appearance. Calvin, smoking the stogies, having a great time. Yep. Man, it was awesome. Yep.
Now, Law Nation was out there.
I'm sorry?
Law Nation?
Law Nation.
They were?
He was.
He was?
He was.
The entire law.
No, Law Nation is a podcaster.
He was out there.
Yep.
Representing the nation.
Oh, wait, you were given some blocking tips.
A young kid. I he started following me actually on...
was awesome, dude.
This young.
He just started following him. He wasn't already.
Brodus was getting in the trenches in the sand with like a high school center who was out here just trying to grind.
Can't be that serious if he wasn't following Brian already.
This young man was. I need to find. But go ahead, keep talking, so, Eric. I'll catch up.
About the NFL Sunday ticket situation that it's now going to end up apparently costing the NFL over $14 billion.
Mm-hmm. My goodness,
It's a lot of pie. And we had hypothesized sort of a couple of weeks ago. Does this spell bad news for all these dudes that are due up now? Like, if you got in the beginning of this offseason with some of your deals, especially these quarterbacks and stuff, or like a Justin Jefferson at the height of the wide receiver market, like, did you get in at the perfect time? Because all of a sudden you get this news about the Sunday ticket stuff, and that's going to cost you a bunch of money. And it's reminiscent of the COVID times when it's like, oh, okay, now we're pulling back on money, so now things are going to be a little bit more watered down here or there. And so... Jerry was asked about that, and he says that you need to have a feel of where the revenue is going to be down the road. He says, I feel like I know better than anybody living or got a feel for what the revenue is going to be 4, 5, 6 years from now than anybody living. I've spent all this time doing that. And if you don't understand what the revenue is going to do, then you can't look and see what the cap is going to be. And so he says, I'm just saying things like, we had a little deal down here in Los Angeles. I was the only witness for the league. And he's talking about the Sunday ticket lawsuit. Now, Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio was like, he was not the only witness for the league, not even close. So I don't know how actually true that is, but he was certainly one of them. So anyways, he's like, if you see me being a little cautious, you must know that that's what it is. I'm being cautious. I'm the best at looking around corners as far as body language and instincts. I'm better than anybody. So he's definitely using this as at least some sort of excuse as to why he's not throwing all the money around right now when it comes to Dak or CD or Micah or whatever. So some people are calling it just an excuse. I don't know, but he's using the Sunday ticket thing definitely as an excuse or a reason.
I mean, if it's $14 billion and you're bringing in roughly that per year, like, how could that not impact the salary cap, like, at least 10% or even more? Mm-hmm. That's interesting to me, you know, and I don't know. I'm not trying to be an alarmist or anything, but it's fascinating how they just kind of roll in with the punches, because that's such a massive amount of money. It seems like it would have to impact the cap all of a sudden the owners have to be like, oh, remember all that money that we've made over the last 20 years? Well, suddenly we got to pay all that back to these bar partners.
Yeah, there's was it 400 and
Ryan? You were on this like from the beginning. You're like, man, I don't know how a lot of these teams are going to be able to even afford it. So maybe to try and even out that pie, that is why the salary cap ends up taking a hit.
Yeah, I think that you've got some teams that there's families that own these teams that the football business is their only business. You know, there's a lot of owners that are billionaires. They were billionaires before they own these teams. But there's a lot, like we mentioned, the Brown family in Cincinnati, the Rooneys in Pittsburgh. The Maras in New York, the McCaskies now, Hallis McCaskey family in Chicago, they don't have other businesses. the Green Bay Packers. There's no extra businesses that can, like, you know, when you say, okay, we're going to have to pay.
It's like $450 million each.
Yeah, that is a huge chunk.
Maybe they
money.
Have a way to get out of it, you know?
They're trying to navigate that right now, I believe.
Okay, so I looked it up. You're looking at about $20 billion of revenue. That's not profit, you know? That's total revenue that they split with the players and, you know, got to take costs out of that and everything. So, I don't know. That is a fascinating story indeed. I imagine that, you know, we're not even done hearing the end of it. For me, I would think it'd be a much bigger deal in the news today. Like, how are these owners going to remain solvent while figuring out how to pay $500 million to somebody?
Well,
they act like they can't even afford to give cheerleaders more than $20 an hour.
Well, think about the situations of some of these teams. You've got billionaires like our guy in Jacksonville, billionaire in Carolina. They're trying to get, you know, $800 million from the cities just to upgrade their football stadiums.
Yeah, it's like a stadium.
Yeah.
I mean,
A lot of these owners could come up with it out of their pockets. A lot of them can't.
I mean,
that is a substantial amount of money when you start talking about generational wealth and then handing it down to family members. You know, to take $450 million out of that is
big win. Big win for small business owners, though.
Yep.
A lot of those little bars that have been running that Sunday ticket getting that fatty boomba, is that what I said?
That's right. You nailed it. Nailed it. We got some good news on the Rangers front too, right?
We do. So the Rangers just put out a press release that they have activated third baseman Josh Jung and left-handed pitcher Cody Bradford from the IL. They went ahead and recalled Ezekiel Duran and Gerson Garabito as well. So Josh Jung activated, Cody Bradford activated. You've had Evan Carter transferred to the 60-day IL list. You had Andrew Kisner, along with Justin Foscue and Jonathan Ornelas, optioned to AAA.
Yeah.
Round Rock, David Swenzel has been designated for assignment. And right-handed pitcher Austin Pruitt has been released. Also, John Gray placed on the 15-day IL list with a right groin strain. So a lot of moving parts here for the Rangers. For the big news, Jung, Bradford. Activated.
You needed a catalyst. You needed an energizer. This is the moment, Brian.
No wonder CY couldn't come visit with us today.
He was a busy man.
Busy day for that.
CY will join us later on in the week. Obviously, there's just so much going on right now. He's got such a busy day, and we salute him. But the big man will be on with us here before too long.
I'm seeing the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Smith is batting leadoff. Then it's Seager, and then it is your two-bagger, Marcus Semien, in the three-hole.
Wow.
Moving some stuff around here.
Okay.
That's the first time in a long time.
Where's
Marcus
Josh Semien
has not batted leadoff. He's not in the lineup today.
Not in the lineup today. But you got Bankford sitting in the four-hole, and then Garcia in the five. But Marcus Semien not leading off.
You're going to add Jung to that? All of a sudden, just looks loaded. Okay, maybe the shot in the arm this team needs, step one. Obviously, you know, it's just the beginning, though. You're looking at Malley and then DeGrom here the coming weeks and days. I have top five standouts from the first weekend of Cowboys training camp that many of us observed here. Out here, it's an off day today, but let's go through this. Number five, Tyler Guyton. Why did he stick out so much, Brian?
Well, I think just the fact that he went into the yesterday's practice would have clearly put him into the top five. You could just see the athletic ability, the length, the movement, and then they had a little bit more of a competitive period yesterday. The two-minute work was really good for him. He got to go against Tank. He got to go against Parsons. Held his own against both those guys very, very well. So it was good to see him get that kind of work.
What'd you see, Wolchuk? You like Guyton?
I mean, the way that you mentioned the movement skills. Like, the feet are just so good with him kicking side to side. But I do think with offensive line, it's a little bit difficult to tell. And tomorrow, hopefully with that padded practice, we'll get to see a little bit more from Guyton. But he's just an absolute massive human being.
Yeah. This is your guy Kyle Yeomans, by the way, DallasCowboys.com, working off his
Kyle watching the tape. Huh? He's not even out here.
Tyler Guyton wears 310 pounds extremely well.
Yeah.
Like, this dude is lean. It's not quite as developed as Tyron, but, you know, when you looked at Tyron, you're like, how are you 300 pounds?
Yeah.
That's kind of how you look at him. Super long, looks athletic, passes the ankle test. Wolchuk already talked about the feet.
Yeah.
So seeing him out there with the starters, I think, is encouraging.
No,
I don't want to see Adoga.
No reason for Chuma Adoga to ever step foot with the ones.
And it's promising how quickly they made that move.
Well, I'm interested to ask Will, because something triggered on Saturday. something different because of they'll say, oh, we wanted to acclimate him and all that. No, you should have just from the word go put him out there and went. And somebody stepped up in that across the building here.
That's exciting. You know, you have a number of young guys on this team that have not stepped up. But, you know, with another rookie class, there's a new crop of them. And they just cannot afford to have back-to-back bad draft classes in a row. So that's a great step in that direction. Number four on the list, Eric Kendricks, the veteran linebacker.
Yeah, he had a nice interception.
Sure did.
Yeah, he's playing. He's such a the way he's an active player. Even when's the last time we've seen linebackers get in the way of passes around here? These linebackers are doing a great job in coverage. Even you know, with guys like Damone Clark, they're getting them involved in the pass coverage stuff. So Kendricks has just been, he's flowing to the ball. He's playing downhill. He's around the ball. He's in pass coverage. He deserves to be on this list.
And a great interview with KNC Masterpiece.
Yes.
Fun guy.
Legend. Okay, how about Tyron Billy White Shoes Johnson? What do they like about him?
He had the best. I mean, yesterday he was outstanding. He caught two deep touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He worked back to the ball, had a full extension grab parallel from the ground that was really, really nice to see him. And he's had success at the NFL level with the Chargers a couple of years ago. Was here last year. Is he one of those guys that emerges, ends up stealing one of those wide receiver roster spots, five or six?
Man, yeah. That I mean, one of the takeaways at this point is it's just seeing Tolbert, seeing Brooks and seeing Billy Johnson, the understudy sort of pass catchers have been at least a little bit more impressive than whatever I was anticipating.
If you want to see a loser out of this group, it's been Ryan Flournoy. He just hasn't practiced at all, and that's putting him behind.
Thank you, sir. Vice President of Player Personnel, the Cowboys, Will McClay, is coming up at 4 o'clock. What are we doing next, Chief?
Best of the weekend, live here in Oxnard. I got to say, Walchuk and myself, we were 2 for 2 on the decision-making. That's next in the nation.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. VP of Player Personnel, Will McClay, is coming up here at 4 o'clock. It's time now for an edition, Best of the Weekend. Here's Eric.
It was an awesome weekend here in Oxnard, California. It really was. From an Olympic standpoint, there's a couple of things to address. The worst of which, of course, outside of the terrible contents that were the opening ceremonies, Paris spent $1.5 billion to clean up the Seine River for the Olympics. We know. Remember, we've discussed this. The poo water, the E. coli disaster awaiting all of the swimming athletes that are headed to compete for their country. But the excess rain this past weekend swept millions of gallons of sewage into the river.
Oh, no.
And the triathlon swim training had to be canceled for the second day in a row. I think today makes it 3 days in a row due to the E. coli levels. A literal S show is what they're dealing with. And I don't know if there is a plan B for these waters and these swimming competitions. I don't know what you're going to be able to do here.
I mean, I'm not an expert here, but couldn't you just, like, jump in a pool and swim the same amount of distance?
I think some of these, like, long-distance ones, it's different. You're not used to, like, having to stop and turn around necessarily.
It's
now,
fair.
I'm no expert, so I don't know. But that would just be the one. Like,
do they not have
swimming is one thing, but when you're doing, like, super long distance, I think, is another one, or when you're incorporating it into, like, a triathlon where you're doing it a bunch of different things.
I mean, because if it was here, we'd be like, yeah, surprise, guys, the Trinity's not clean enough for Olympians. Let's go out to Lake Ray Hubbard. You know, don't they have alternate bodies of water here in France?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, because they spent...
One river? How'd they get the Olympics?
They spent almost... Exactly. They spent almost $2 billion on these specific waters. So
yeah.
I don't think there was... Because if there was a cheaper option in striking distance, I would imagine they would have tried to capitalize on those cleaner waters. But
So we don't have an Olympic size
project.
We don't have an Olympic size pool in anywhere in Paris, France.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I mean, we don't have, like, I'm just saying, Dallas Jesuit High School has their own Olympic size indoor center on their campus.
Did you hear that, France?
Yeah,
your ass together.
We didn't have a backup plan for this, by the way, either. Like, okay, the poo water could not be ready, Yeah. But we don't have a backup plan to that? Like,
they were,
okay.
They were one rainy day away from millions of gallons of poo water to be thrusted back into their $1.5 billion restoration.
So they just have pools of poo water sitting around, and if it rains
the divers,
enough, it just kicks right into the drain.
You should
have
seen the
system.
Divers, what they My had to goodness. Deal with the poo water. It was on top.
No. It's been illegal to swim in these waters for over a century.
Wow.
This is a literal sewage basin.
Wow.
They took the entire the toilet of the city is what France or My was gosh. What Paris said, "Hey, this is where we can conduct our athlete swimming competition." Hey,
my goodness.
This is where I felt like that if you were a country that you were the only athlete of like diving, like you're going to finish maybe last. Diving into the poo water with just toughness, you might outlast some of the others that don't want to do it.
Might be my shot.
This is what I'm saying. If you could just gut it up.
I can tread water pretty good. Yeah. I can float pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. This
can
might be.
Can you float with some floaters? I don't know. I'm willing to never underestimate myself, though, Chief, as I was recently informed that this morning I slept through the fire alarm at the hotel.
That's a dub for you, man. I don't know how you managed to do that.
How did you sleep through that? I thought it was only my room. I was like, oh, my gosh, what is happening right now?
Because
I
was, there was the alarm right by the bed.
Yeah, right by the bed.
And I'm thinking, crap, did something catch on fire in here? I felt the exact same way.
I must have just incorporated it into my dream.
It was at like, it was at what, like 6? It was like 6
like
in the 6:30. Morning, 6:30.
Yeah. Oh, geez, you should have been up already.
Yeah, well, my first alarm had already gone off, but then I dozed back, and then it was like, boom, what is happening right now?
Stop.
But it only lasted, I mean, it is as loud as anything you've ever heard. It only lasted for maybe 5 minutes, maybe even less than that.
Where are
but
we?
But that just shows the insane, the turnaround trip that Dawson just had to do physically. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how exhausted. I know Walter came in here dragging ass from his weekend.
I think that's triple jet lag.
That's triple jet lag, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this question then about this whole thing. That thing's supposed to get you up out of the hotel.
Yeah.
Everybody just stayed where they were, weren't they? Tim?
Did anybody get out?
Did anybody leave? Yeah. Did anybody get up and leave?
No, I was in my skivvies. I think everybody sort of waits out. It's a drill.
Yeah. So
we're all kind of doing that touch and
go
situation.
So that thing right there did nothing. Well, so if there
launched me out of my bed and then opened the hallway doors to make sure that everybody was dealing with this. Okay, cool. 9.9 times out of 10, it's a false alarm.
I did put pants on and then it stopped. So then I took the pants right back off.
The biggest loser is the guy who did get all the way out of his bed, probably stayed in his skivvies, went all the way down the stairs, maybe staying on the third floor, waiting for a slow-ass elevator to get to him. And then he goes outside.
You're not supposed to ride the elevator, bro.
It's actually the coldest day.
Yeah.
It's actually the coldest day of the week that we're here.
Yeah.
And you're standing out there for no good reason because it always is false alarm.
9 times out of 10, you're not moving. Is that what you're saying?
9.999 times out of 10, I'm only peeking out into the hallway to make sure that everybody else is dealing with the same thing as me. It's not just my room, and I'm not seeing or smelling any type of smoke. Okay, I will go back to
bed. Plus, we have a nice little back patio set up. I think you could probably drop down, maybe broken leg at worst.
Over the
There's no question that you have that in your back pocket.
I'm over in the C block. And we had no problems over there.
Oh, really?
No alarm at all.
They casted you guys away.
Yeah, we were over there in the no problems in our areas.
Yeah, the 817 says that alarm is just to be like, hey, put your pants on and just get ready. Maybe something is happening.
Hell
but don't,
yeah.
Don't go overzealous and run out of your room like a loser.
I waited to put the shirt on. I said, I'm going to have the pants on, and then it stopped.
I wanted to see. That would be funny if Wolchek went out there with pants on but no shirt.
That might be one of the only times I would do
that.
That would have been funny.
I think his tummy is the only thing on his body that doesn't hurt him right now because the sun has blistered every other piece of his skin.
So do you feel like that the alarm? You feel like the alarm is doing its job?
It works.
Well, not for Dawson, because Dawson would have slept through the fire this morning.
So he's a casualty.
I'm probably a guy that maybe gets injured along the way if I have to bounce off the balcony.
Wolchuk's,
yeah, I would have woken
Wolchuk
up once
gets
there was...
out, but he's got pants on.
Got pants on.
He's out.
Yeah.
You're maybe injured. Dawson is a
smoke
casualty.
Inhalation.
Yeah. casualty.
Yeah. I went peacefully, though.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And it was the right move to go back and see your family one last time.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Now, Walchuk and I, we had decisions to be made this weekend. You know, there's a group of people, different activities. What are you going to end up doing? And the KNC Masterpiece did a really nice sell job, by the way, on trying to get us into the Deadpool Wolverine mix.
Because I was
you weren't really having to twist our arms. We want to see that. We really intend
to. Yeah, we do.
Hopefully at some point this week we'll get to that.
We haven't had a movie date in a while.
We haven't. Really, not since last year.
No.
When we did the group date to Oppenheimer, which was fantastic.
That took 3 days to watch.
It was worth all three of those days. 72 hours of sitting here feeling just like, I don't know what I'm watching, but it's cool.
Red Cross dropped supplies to you guys while you were sitting in the theater.
Saturday after practice, we had the chance to just scoot on out real quick to go catch Deadpool with the KNC Masterpiece fellas. And we're like, we'll hang back and just see what the day has to offer. Lo and behold, we're standing next to Brian Broaddus. In comes Mike Zimmer before we can leave the practice fields. And he is just all up in our grill. And he's schmoozing, saying hello, exchanging pleasantries with this guy, Broaddus.
I heard what you said about my nose tackles, boys.
It's the best part about having Broaddus around, man. I mean, we're getting to meet who's who. And then at practice, if I got a question, I'm like, Brian, what's the point of this drill? He's able to coach us up.
He's a magnet for football guys. And so Mike Zimmer comes over. And next thing you know, we're standing there for an hour. Chopping it up with Zim.
It was fun being able to pick his brain.
Get to know him. Yeah,
he's a great dude.
We were asking him football questions at a couple of points. Like, Broaddus is looking at me doing the thing, like where he's
kill,
like,
don't kill.
Yeah, he's killing at the line of scrimmage. But I went for it, man. I went for the questions, and he was cool. And I know that every coach has different sides to him, but he was super, super personable, ready to just share and like give you share some fun stories. So it was awesome. That's been the highlight of the trip for me.
Did
so
you ask
far.
Him about the Maxim girlfriend?
I gave him some dap.
We were Jane was around with Pop. She brought her dad over.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And
on
so
social.
Jane's trying to get her dad back in the game, and I was like, "Look, you could ask for advice from Zim. He's a real Riz God over here."
Yeah, there you go.
He just chuckled.
He's like, "Yeah, I'm still dating that same girlfriend," and I can see that look in his eye. And I was like, "Yeah, you like that?"
He's got the eye of the tiger.
You like that Australian accent? I know you do. And I gave him a fist bump, and I said, "That's freaking awesome." And that was it was a great exchange. It was a great time, and it was a lot of fun. And then yesterday we did Santa Barbara.
We did Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara was all that it was cracked up to be. Going out to the pier. Good views, good weather.
Sunburn.
Still getting the sunburn, yes.
Yeah,
but
sunburn.
It was worth it. It was worth the drive up, probably 45 minutes or so from here.
It's beautiful.
But it's as pretty as it gets, man.
What's the level of the tire on the back right?
I put some in.
We put gas in.
$5
gas?
How's the rattle?
The rattle is still apparent. It might be getting louder and louder by the day. But it got us to and fro.
It did.
It absolutely did.
So you stuffed some air in the back, right?
Yes, I did, but it didn't change anything on the PSI list on the dash.
We're like a cursed show when it comes to every year we're having a vehicle issue. And it's always a van.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I thought we made a good selection this year, you know, outside of the writing on the back.
That was B13. Yeah. We had to go to M13.
We're definitely doing the right thing picking minivan, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rooming.
Very
cost-effective,
easy in, easy out.
I love the minivan. Everybody's making
you
fun
should
of
see
us,
Chief
minivan. I'm like,
Dawson.
Dude, this
no,
is
we
my
did it right.
You would have been so proud of Chief pulling out of the tightest parking spot ever on the field the other day.
Remember yeah, that was kind of one of those.
It took us about maybe 15 minutes, but we got out of that spot.
Best of the weekend, we also snuck in Spencer McKenzie's twice.
We did. We're 2 for 2 on Spencer McKenzie's, just as good as it's always been. And we look forward to hopefully hitting it 7,000 or 18,000 more times before we go home.
Absolutely right. Dominant. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
VP of Player Personnel for the Cowboys, Will McClay, joins us in 5 minutes here live on the tennis courts in the nation. All right, welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. VP of Player Personnel, Will McClay, is coming up here at 4 o'clock. It's time now for an edition, Best of the Weekend. Here's Eric.
It was an awesome weekend here in Oxnard, California. It really was. From an Olympic standpoint, there's a couple of things to address. The worst of which, of course, outside of the terrible contents that were the opening ceremonies, Paris spent $1.5 billion to clean up the Seine River for the Olympics. We know. Remember, we've discussed this. The poo water, the E. coli disaster awaiting all of the swimming athletes that are headed to compete for their country. But the excess rain this past weekend swept millions of gallons of sewage into the river.
Oh, no.
And the triathlon swim training had to be canceled. for the second day in a row. I think today makes it 3 days in a row due to the E. coli levels. A literal S show is what they're dealing with, and I don't know how. I don't know if there is a plan B for these waters and these swimming competitions. I don't know what you're going to be able to do here.
I mean, I'm not an expert here, but couldn't you just like jump in a pool and swim the same amount of distance?
I think some of these like long distance ones, it's different. You're not used to like having to stop and turn around necessarily. That's now fair. I'm no expert, so I don't know. But that would just be the one. Like, do they not have swimming is one thing, but when you're doing like super long distance, I think is another one. Or when you're incorporating it into like a triathlon where you're doing it a bunch of different things.
I mean, because if it was here, we'd be like, yeah. Surprise, guys, the Trinity's not clean enough for Olympians. Let's go out to Lake Ray Hubbard. You know, don't they have alternate bodies of water here in France?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it because they spent...
One river? How'd they get the Olympics?
They spent almost... Exactly. They spent over, I mean, almost $2 billion on these specific waters. So yeah. I don't think there was... Because if there was a cheaper option in striking distance, I would imagine they would have tried to capitalize on those cleaner waters. But
So we don't have an Olympic size
project.
We don't have an Olympic size pool in anywhere in Paris, France.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I mean, we don't have like I'm just saying, Dallas Jesuit High School has their own Olympic size indoor center on their campus.
Did you hear that, France?
Yeah, we don't.
Get your ass together.
We didn't have a backup plan for this, by the way, either. Like, okay, the poo water could not be ready, but we don't have a backup plan to that. Like,
they were one rainy day away from millions of gallons of poo water to be thrusted back into their $1.5 billion restoration.
So they just have pools of poo water sitting around, and if it rains
the divers,
enough, it just kicks right into the drain.
You should
have
seen the
system.
Divers, what they My had to goodness. Deal with the poo water. It was on top.
No. It's been illegal to swim in these waters for over a century.
Wow.
This is a literal sewage basin.
Wow.
They took the entire the toilet of the city is what France or was what Paris said, hey, this is where we can conduct our athlete swimming competition. Hey,
my goodness.
This is where I felt like that if you were a country that you were the only athlete of like diving, like you're gonna finish maybe last. Diving into the poo water with just toughness, you might outlast some of the others that don't want to do it.
Might be my shot.
This is what I'm saying. If you could just gut it up.
I can tread water pretty good. Yeah. I can float pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. This
can
might
you float,
be.
Can you float with some floaters?
I don't know. I'm willing to never underestimate myself, though, Chief, as I was recently informed that this morning I slept through the fire alarm at the hotel.
That's a dub for you, man. I don't know how you managed to do that.
How did you sleep through that? I thought it was only my room. I was like, oh, my gosh, what is happening right now?
Because
there
was the alarm right by the bed.
Yeah, right by the bed.
And I'm thinking, oh, crap, did something catch on fire in here? I felt the exact same way.
I must have just incorporated it into my dream.
It was at like, it was at what, like 6? It was like 6
like
in the 6:30. Morning, 6:30.
Oh, geez, you should have been up already.
Yeah, well, my first alarm had already gone off, but then I dozed back, and then it was like, boom, what is happening right now?
Stop.
But it only lasted, I mean, it is as loud as anything you've ever heard. It only lasted for maybe 5 minutes, maybe even less than that.
Where are
but
we?
But that just shows the insane, the turnaround trip that Dawson just had to do physically. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how exhausted. I know Walter came in here dragging ass from his weekend.
I think that's triple jet lag.
That's triple jet lag, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this question then about this whole thing. That thing's supposed to get you up out of the hotel.
Yeah.
Everybody just stayed where they were, weren't they? Tim?
Did anybody get out?
Did anybody leave? Yeah. Did anybody get up and leave?
No, I was in my skivvies. I think everybody sort of waits out. Is
so,
this a drill?
Yeah. So
we're all kind of doing that touch and
go
situation.
So that thing right there did nothing. Well, so if there
launched me out of my bed and then into the open the hallway doors to make sure that everybody was dealing with this. Okay, cool. 9.9 times out of 10, it's a false alarm.
I did put pants on and then it stopped. So then I took the pants right back off.
The biggest loser is the guy who did get all the way out of his bed, probably stayed in his skivvies, went all the way down the stairs, maybe staying on the third floor, waiting for a slow-ass elevator to get to him. And then he goes outside.
You're not supposed to ride the elevator,
it's actually
bro.
The coldest day.
Yeah.
It's actually the coldest day of the week that we're here.
Yeah.
And you're standing out there for no good reason because, hey, because it always is.
Okay.
False alarm.
9 times out of 10, you're not moving. Is that what you're saying?
9.999 times out of 10, I'm only peeking out into the hallway to make sure that everybody else is dealing with the same thing as me. It's not just my room, and I'm not seeing or smelling any type of smoke. Okay, I will go back to
bed. Plus, we have a nice little back patio set up. I think you could probably drop down, maybe broken leg at worst.
Over the yeah. over
There's
the
no question
leg.
That you have that in your
well,
back pocket.
I'm yep. over in the C block, and we had no problems over there.
Oh, really?
No alarm at all.
They, Corey they casted Majors. You guys away.
Yeah, we were over there in the no problems in our areas.
Yeah, the 817 says that alarm is just to be like, hey, put your pants on and just get ready. Maybe something is happening.
Hell
but don't,
yeah.
Don't go overzealous and run out of your room like
yeah.
a loser.
I waited to put the shirt on. I said, I'm going to have the pants on, and then it stopped.
I wanted to see. That would be funny if Wolchek went out there with pants on but no shirt.
That might you be know, one of the only times
been,
I would do
that. Been epic.
That would have been funny.
Been
that part been.
I think his tummy is the only thing on his body that doesn't hurt him right now because the sun has blistered every other piece of his skin.
So do you feel like that the alarm? You feel like the alarm is doing its job?
It works.
Well, not for Dawson, because Dawson would have slept through the fire this morning.
So he's a casualty.
I'm probably a guy that maybe gets injured along the way if I have to bounce off the balcony.
Wolchuk's,
yeah, I would have woken
Wolchuk
up once
gets
there was...
out, but he's got pants on.
Got pants
he's,
on.
He's out.
Yeah.
You're maybe injured. Dawson is a
smoke
casualty.
Inhalation.
Yeah. Yeah. Casualty.
Yeah. I went peacefully, though.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And it was the right move to go back and see your family one last time.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Now, Wolchuk and I, we had decisions to be made this weekend. You know, there's a group of people, different activities. What are you going to end up doing? And the KNC Masterpiece did a really nice sell job, by the way, on trying to get us into the Deadpool Wolverine mix.
Because I was
you weren't really having to twist our arms. We want to see that. We really intend
to. Yeah,
we do. Hopefully at some point this week we'll get to that.
We haven't had a movie date in a while.
We haven't. Really, not since last year.
No.
When we did the group date to Oppenheimer, which was fantastic.
That took 3 days to watch.
It was worth all three of those days. 72 hours of sitting here feeling just like, I don't know what I'm watching, but it's cool.
Red Cross dropped supplies to you guys while you were sitting in the theater.
Saturday after practice, we had the chance to just scoot on out real quick to go catch Deadpool with the KNC Masterpiece fellas. And we're like, we'll hang back and just see what the day has to offer. Lo and behold, we're standing next to Brian Broaddus. In comes Mike Zimmer before we can leave the practice fields. And he is just all up in our grill. And he's schmoozing, saying hello, exchanging pleasantries with this guy, Broaddus.
I heard
and
what then, you said about my nose tackles, boys.
It's the best part about having Broaddus around, man. I mean, we're getting to meet who's who. And then at practice, if I got a question, I'm like, Brian, what's the point of this drill? He's able to coach us up.
He's a magnet for football guys. And so Mike Zimmer comes over. And next thing you know, we're standing there for an hour. Chopping it up with Zim.
It was fun being able to pick
Getting
his brain.
Getting to know him. Yeah,
he's a great dude.
We were asking him football questions at a couple of points. Like, Broaddus is looking at me doing the thing, like where he's
kill,
like, don't,
kill,
don't
kill,
have
kill.
Yeah, he's killing at the line of scrimmage. But I went for it, man. I went for the questions, and he was cool. And I know that every coach has different sides to him, but he was super, super personable, ready to just share and like give you share some fun stories. So it was awesome. That's been the highlight of the trip for me.
Did
so
you ask
far.
Him about the Maxim girlfriend?
I gave him some dap.
We were Jane was around with Pop. She brought her dad over.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And
on
so
social.
Jane's trying to get her dad back in the game, and I was like, "Look, you could ask for advice from Zim. He's a real Riz God over here."
Yeah, there you go.
He just chuckled.
He's like, "Yeah, I'm still dating that same girlfriend," and I can see that look in his eye. And I was like, "Yeah, you like that?"
He's got the eye. Of the
you
tiger.
Like that Australian accent? I know you do. And I gave him a fist bump, and I said, "That's freaking awesome."
yeah,
and that was it was a great exchange. It was a great time, and it was a lot of fun. And then yesterday we did Santa Barbara.
We did Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara was all that it was cracked up to be. Going out to the pier. Good views, good weather.
Sunburn.
Still getting the sunburn, yes.
Yeah,
but
sunburn.
It was worth it. It was worth the drive up, probably 45 minutes or so from here.
It's beautiful.
What's it's as pretty as it gets, man.
What's the level of the tire on the back right?
I put some in.
We put gas in.
Put
oh,
some
wow.
gas in. Put some,
$5 gas?
How's the rattle?
The rattle is still apparent. It might be getting louder and louder by the day. But it got us to and fro.
They did.
It absolutely did.
So you stuffed some air in the back, right?
Yes, I did. But it didn't change anything on the PSI list on the dash.
We're like a cursed show when it comes to the. Every year we're having a vehicle issue, and it's always a van.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I thought we made a good selection this year, you know, outside of the writing on the back.
That was B13. Yeah. We had to go to M13.
We're definitely doing the right thing picking minivan, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rooming.
Very cost-effective, easy in, easy out.
I love the minivan. Everybody's making
fun
of us. You
should see Chief
minivan. I'm like,
Dawson,
this is my wheelhouse. Right.
You would have been so proud of Chief pulling out of the tightest parking spot ever on the field the other day.
Remember Yeah, that was kind of one of those.
It took us about maybe 15 minutes, but we got out of that spot.
Best of the weekend, we also snuck in Spencer McKenzie's twice.
We did. We're 2 for 2 on Spencer McKenzie's, just as good as it's always been. And we look forward to hopefully hitting it 7 or 18,000 more times before we go home.
Absolutely right. Dominant. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
VP of Player Personnel for the Cowboys, Will McClay, joins us in 5 minutes here live on the tennis courts in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.